Now, do you see how many people it takes to do one man's job? Shall we just bow in prayer just before we turn to God's word? Our Father, again, we thank you and praise you for the privilege of being able to turn to your word this morning. And we pray, our Father, that you will speak through it. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I have a question for you this morning. Tell me, how would other people sum you up? What do other people think about you? You know people that are polite to you, to your face, but what do they really think about you? I read some time ago a story in a magazine of a lady who went to visit her friend. And she had a little girl who was just 5 or 6 years of age. The mother went into the kitchen to make her friend a cup of tea. And while the other lady was sitting on the couch, the little girl would always go round to the back of the couch and she would look at the back of the lady's head. And the lady said, "Well, is there something wrong with my hair or what are you looking at?" To which the little girl replied, "My mummy says you're two-faced and I'm looking for your other face." Sometimes we get to find out what others really think about us through the innocence of children. But what do others really think about you? Tradition would tell us that King Herod was that sort of person. He wanted to know what others really thought of him. And so history would tell us that he dressed up as a tramp and he went round the streets of Jerusalem asking people what they thought about the king. And people said, "Well, that'll be a great day, the day when Herod dies," not knowing that they were talking to Herod himself. And so history would tell us that Herod decreed that 80 priests would be put to death on the day that he would die because he wanted people to lament and not rejoice on the day that he would die. But what do others really think about you? Sometimes it can be a dangerous thing to ask these questions if we don't want to be offended, if people are to be really honest with us. And so this morning I want to look at what different people thought about the Lord Jesus. Well, did you find the two words in our reading that I want to take for my text? They are the two words, "this man," and it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are mentioned 23 times in the Bible. And I want to take a phrase from each of these three verses, and I want to gather a few thoughts around them. Firstly, I want to bring before you a group of men that were known throughout the world for their regimented fashion, for their fierceness in battle, for their conquering achievements. They are the officers of the Roman army. They couldn't care less about God. They only cared for themselves. And yet I want you to notice what they said about the Lord Jesus. The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man. When Jesus spoke, everyone listened, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Never man spake with the wisdom and grace and power and understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. His convincing clearness and charming sweetness wherewith Christ spoke was evident throughout his life." I'll tell you another thing about him. Instead of the officers arresting the Lord Jesus, they themselves were arrested by what he said. They stood and listened to what he said. How else could they give such an account? Even the Roman officers had to say, "Never man speak like this man." Maybe that's you this morning, just like the Roman officers. You've heard the words of the Lord Jesus many times, but you certainly wouldn't class yourself as a follower of his, no more than these officers. You can't find fault in him. Others might mock him, but not you. You have respect for him. You're as straight as they come. You don't do anyone any harm. And you seldom miss a day at your place of worship. And just like the Roman officers, you would say, "Never man spake like this man." The Roman officers had to confess they had never heard anyone speak like this before. They said, "Never man spake like this man." Sometimes I think the enemies of the Lord Jesus speaks better of him than those that are his followers, as we'll see a little later on. I know when a boy and girl fall madly in love, they worship the ground that each other walk on. They hold dear the words of the other. But for the enemies of the Lord Jesus, for the Roman officers to say, "Never man speak like this man," well, that's a different matter. Now listen to what Pilate had to say about him. He said, "I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." How could Pilate or anyone else find fault in him? He is a sinless, spotless, sovereign Son of God. The Roman officers had to admit it. "Never man spake like this man." We need to get a hold of this truth in the society in which we find ourselves. He has the power to control the universe. He made man from the dust of the earth. And he has the power to change lives this morning. Your friends may speak well of you if you're fortunate. But it's another thing for your enemies to speak well of you. But not so with the Lord Jesus. His enemies said, "Never man speak like this man." Even the Roman officers had to admit it. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Concerning the value of the soul, he said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Concerning sin, he said, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. But the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." Concerning heaven, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." My, if we could only get a grip of these things, if we could only see the value of the soul, if we could only see the seriousness of sin, if we could only see the splendor of heaven this morning, what a difference it would make to our service. No wonder they said of him, "For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Yes, his enemies had to confess, "Never man speak like this man." But then secondly, I want you to notice what the religious people had to say about the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice the response of the chief priests, the rulers, and the people to Pilate. They cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas." But I want you to notice how our reading began. "So there was a division among the people because of him." I wish I had more time to expound this phrase, but let me say in passing, in our community, there are those that are saved and those that are lost. In our families, there are those that are saved and those that are lost. And in this gathering this morning, there are those that are saved and those that are lost. And so even today, there is a division among the people because of him. Some in this gathering may be saying, away with this man. We will not have this man to rule over us. Then we have the three trials of the Lord Jesus. We have the trial of the Sanhedrin. We have the trial by Pontius Pilate and the Jewish mob. And the trial by Herod. Here we have the account of the Lord Jesus before Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea. And here Pilate questions the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. But water could never wash the stains of sin away from Pilate or anyone else. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can do that. And maybe you're like the chief priests and rulers of the people in Luke chapter 23. You're religious. And by that you mean you're a regular church attender. You live within the law. You pay 100 pence in the pound. You're respected in the community. You're recognized within the church-going people. But when it comes to talking about being saved, you say, like the chief priests and rulers, away with this man. Did you know it was religious people that crucified Christ? There are many people just like that, like the chief priests and rulers. They say, away with this man. Leave us alone. A kind of religion, but no time for the gospel. Like the church at Sardis, religious in name only, a name to live and is dead. And when it comes to the gospel, you say, away with this man. Be careful. You could say it once too often. O sinner, the Spirit is striving with thee. What if he should strive nevermore? But leave thee alone in the darkness to dwell in sight of the heavenly shore. If you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 6 and verse 3, you will find these words. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You remember Saul, the first king of Israel, a man that stood ahead above everyone else. The first man to become king after the judges, but a man who in later life sought advice from the witch at Endor, and a man who fell on his own sword and committed suicide at the foot of Mount Gilboa. God took his spirit from Saul, and God stopped his people praying for Saul. You say, where do you get that in the Bible? I get it in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1. Samuel gets down and he prays for Saul. And God said to Samuel, why prayest thou for Saul, seeing as I have rejected him? You see, God's spirit stopped striving with Saul because he had rejected God's offer of grace once too often. And I'll tell you another thing. If God takes his spirit from you, he will never speak to you again. You say, where do you get that in the Bible? I get it in Luke chapter 23 and verse 9. Who was the only man in the Bible that Jesus never spoke to? It was Herod. It says of Herod, then he questioned with him, that is Jesus, in many words, But he answered him nothing. Why did the Lord Jesus not answer Herod? I'll tell you why the Lord Jesus didn't answer Herod. Because he had said all he wanted to say to him through John the Baptist, through his faithful servant. I was thinking this morning of Esau, who sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. And do you know what I read about him? I read, he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Maybe you're like those in Luke chapter 19 who said, we will not have this man to rule over us. Oh, I plead with you this morning. Don't be like those religious people of that day. Don't be a Christ rejecter. Don't say away with this man. You could say it once too often. Because one day, you will stand before him, the one despised and rejected of men, and he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. What a loss. Being brought up in a godly home and sent to Sunday school from an early age. What a loss when you have had the privileges of singing some of those old gospel hymns. What a loss when you have been afforded the privileges of sitting under the sound of the gospel here week by week. Oh, we love to see you coming to church. And I trust that you find a welcome when you come. But that will not fit you for heaven. Solomon said, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone to the place of the holy. But coming and going to the place of the holy didn't make them holy people. I remember as a boy going to meetings conducted by Paul Finch from South Africa and singing some of those beautiful old gospel hymns. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. But I wasn't going to that beautiful city. I wasn't saved. I was still walking the broad road that leads to destruction. Yes, you can sing his blood avails for me and never experience the cleansing that only Christ can offer. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The Roman officer said, never man speak like this man. The chief priests and the rulers of the people said, away with this man. But then thirdly, I want you to notice in Luke chapter 15 and verse 2, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners. Ah, they said it in ridicule. But I'm glad to be able to tell you this morning what they said about him is true. If it wasn't, we may as well close the book and go home, because there would be no hope for any of us. But it's my privilege to tell you this morning, even though he's the Lord of all glory, this man receiveth sinners. I think most of us here don't need much convincing that we are sinners. I think most of us know that in our own heart. The Shorter Catechism, that most excellent compendium of Christian doctrine, teaches us, is any man able perfectly to keep the commandments of God? And the answer to that question is, no mere man since the fall is able in this life perfectly to keep the commandments of God, but doth daily break them in thought, word, and deed. You remember when the prodigal son came home and they said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. The one thing that we all have in common is that we are all sinners. But I'm thankful this morning to be able to tell you that this man receiveth sinners. If he didn't, there would be no hope for any of us. For the scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, the shorter catechism would remind us, what doth every sin deserve? And the answer is, every sin deserveth God's wrath and curse, both in this life and that which is to come. The word of God is clear on this. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Some people take their ailments to the grave. But my dear friend, sin is something that you will take beyond the grave if it's not dealt with this side of eternity. But it can be, because this man receiveth sinners. The Bible tells us, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Why? Because this man receiveth sinners. And he'll receive you this morning if you will come to him. For he has promised in his word, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The old hymn writer said, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. And not only that, but it's a finished work. The writer to the Hebrews would remind us that this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. All the priest was standing daily, ministering and often offering the same sacrifices that would never take away sin. But this man, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. It's a finished work. Nevermore shall God Jehovah smite the shepherd with the sword. Ne'er again shall cruel sinners set at naught our glorious Lord. The Roman officer said, never man speak like this man. The chief priests and rulers of the people said, away with this man. The scribes and Pharisees said, this man receiveth sinners. I trust that with the help of God, that through this man, Christ Jesus, we have preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. Will this be the morning when you will come to Christ? I trust that it will. And then you will not miss heaven at the end of life's little journey. Shall we pray?